Welcome in. This is Chris Temple, editor and publisher of the National Investor, and I'm privileged to be joined today by Ambassador Thomas Graham Jr. He has a very distinguished career as a senior diplomat for American foreign policy. He has dealt specifically going all the way back to 1970 under successive U.S. presidents with pretty much every single international arms control and non-proliferation agreement that the U.S. has been a party to. And interestingly enough, as you're going to learn today, and if you come and see Ambassador Graham this weekend in Chicago at the Chicago Resource Expo, you're going to learn how this experience has made him more convinced than ever that the only way to save this planet literally from climate change and the destruction of fossil fuels is by the world re-embracing in a bigger way than ever nuclear energy. So, Ambassador Graham, first of all, thank you very much for taking a few minutes with me today.
My pleasure, Chris. Happy to do so. Look forward to the discussion.
Well, one of the things that you and I were talking about off mic, which I agree with, is that even though I guess in my own political career I'm very much a conservative Republican, a lot of conservative Republicans kind of knee-jerk think they have to be opposed to anyone talking about the climate. But I've long been a believer, and you're making me an ever bigger one, in the fact that climate change really is a clear and present danger, isn't it?
It is a clear and present danger. When you have 99%, 99.5% probably, of the world's climate scientists agreeing on the nature of the threat and its severity, you just can't ignore that. If during the Cold War somebody said there was a 1% chance of the Soviet Union attacking the United States, we would build up forces to prevent that from happening. Here we have over 90% chance, even if you discount somewhat some of the scientists, and I don't think one should. The threat is just, it's very real, and it can't be rationally denied. And nuclear power is essential to addressing that threat.
Well, one of the things that I think a lot of people don't realize, because we tend so much in our society and our media culture today, Ambassador, to look simply at little sound bites and we don't dig deeper, people don't understand that nuclear power is not only emission free, but it is the only form of non-fossil fuel, meaning non-oil or gas or you know, carbon-based coal, where there really is really no detrimental harm by and large to the environment. Now, you of course learned that, among other things, in your service for the country and in dealing with other countries. You now serve as chairman of the board of Canalaska Uranium, as well as of a company I want to learn more about, Lightbridge Corporation, which is looking at more modern technology for the U.S. Another point you made to me that I'd like you to articulate is that, you know, we get about a fifth of our overall power in the U.S. from nuclear energy, yet very little of the uranium is sourced from here. We import a lot of it. That's a separate issue. But the bigger issue is that most of the nuclear industry in the U.S. is pretty ossified. And we hear a lot about emerging nations that are building modern industries for nuclear power, whether it's China, India, even Saudi Arabia and others. But the U.S. is way behind the curve. How did that happen?
Well, unfortunately, nuclear power was introduced to the world as part of the development of an overwhelmingly destructive weapon of war. It just happened to come along at the time of World War II. So the first focus of the use of energy was to try to develop weapons with it. And it's been tarnished in the eyes of some people by the attacks on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the fact that nuclear energy is in weapons, as well as available for production of peaceful power. But it's always been there, and someone was bound to discover it eventually, like fire, and it just happened to be discovered when it was. But it's important to try to persuade people that it's not dangerous. It's the safest form of energy production that exists today if you base it on a statistical analysis. There's only been one accident in the history of nuclear power that caused any injuries or death because of the operation of nuclear power. And that was, of course, the Chernobyl accident in Ukraine, where they were using a reactor that never would have been built in the West. It was so unsafe, didn't have a containment dome and so forth. And in any case, it is safe. It's very safe. And my book, Seeing the Light, explains how that is so. And it also addresses the public concern about radiation and how much radiation can be safely present in the environment and so forth. And but that's another long subject, so I won't get into that. But it's been tarnished by what some call the nuclear fear, that there's something fearful about this energy source when there isn't, if it's managed properly. And it also has years of experience of powering cities, which no other source outside the fossil area does. And that's why it's so essential.
Well, and it's why, of course, and I've seen this in numerous reports, Ambassador Graham, that of all of the potential sources of green energy, it's the only one that is reliable 24/7. Wind power is fickle, solar power is fickle, the scale is not there for the type of power that can be generated by nuclear facilities. You mentioned your book, the title, folks, is Seeing the Light, A Case for Nuclear Power in the 21st Century. Ambassador Graham will be talking about that book and his findings at the Chicago Resource Expo this weekend. If you aren't going to be there for whatever reason, I hope you can make it, but if not, you can always order it at Amazon.com or any bookstore for that matter. But your reason for authoring this book, you're almost a modern-day prophet, I guess I'd say, because we look at, even if you don't look at the climate issues of oil and natural gas and coal, but we'll focus just for a second on oil and natural gas. We have ramped up in the U.S. in the recent past this drill baby drill mentality. And even if you completely remove from discussion the bad climate characteristics of so much carbon being burned, we're really just robbing supplies from the future, aren't we, with all this fracking and so forth? I remember Marcy Kaptur, a Democrat congresswoman from Ohio, who years ago gave a speech on a House floor, and she said, this country needs to get serious about a long-term energy policy that goes beyond drill, baby, drill, that kind of thing, and really something on the order of the space program. Are we falling that far behind? Isn't it long past time that we get serious about where our energy is going to come from 10 or 20 or 50 years from now?
Well, you certainly, as we used to say in government, broke the code. I mean, that's just absolutely true. Here, we're trying to build five reactors now, and there's a big problem with two, so it may end up being only three. China is building, has announced that it's going to build at least 250 in the next 5 to 10 years, and maybe much higher than that, maybe up closer to 500. And Russia's going to build 60 or 80. India is going to build 60. Here we're struggling to do 3 to 5. And we need more. We need energy more than any of those countries do, except China. We just for 30 years we succumbed to this nuclear fear, which I mentioned earlier, which was promoted by elements in the media, and have neglected this tremendously important source that Providence gave us to power civilization on this earth. And indeed, if we hadn't left the scene, as it were, after the Three Mile Island incident in the 1970s, I believe, in which there were no injuries at all and no threat to anything, but was hyped by the media and the movie industry and the China Syndrome movie, which came out about the same time.
Right.
If we hadn't done that, there wouldn't be a climate change crisis today. We would have enough energy that was carbon-free to power anything we wanted for the future, and we allowed ourselves to neglect our interests and focus on fear that wasn't even real. And so yes, we are far behind now, and it will take something like the Manhattan Project or even larger for us to catch up.
Well, hopefully at some point we reach critical mass in this country of a public consciousness of this, which you're trying to your best to raise, and the political will to do this before it's too late. So, folks, we're going to learn a lot more from Ambassador Graham this weekend in Chicago. That's Friday evening. He'll be on our panel discussion. We'll talk about energy, macroeconomic issues, and a whole lot more. I'm looking forward to seeing you again, sir. And so again, Ambassador Thomas Graham Jr., Chairman of Kanalaska Uranium, Chairman of Lightbridge, former diplomat for the U.S., thank you very much, and I look forward to this weekend, sir.
Chris, it was a great pleasure to be on your program, and I enjoyed the discussion, and I look forward to seeing you at the conference.